Hi, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to the Beyond Willpower Workbook Call with Dr. Alex Lloyd. I'm Kathy Perkins, and I'm your host for this evening. First, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Lloyd. He has a PhD in psychology and a doctorate in natural medicine. Dr. Lloyd is the international best-selling author of The Healing Code, and he's been featured live on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and PBS as an expert in healing the source issues underlying illness and disease. He was the subject of a PBS special about the healing codes and healing the source of problems versus managing symptoms. The Healing Code is currently being printed in more than 33 countries and 28 languages and is a number one bestseller in 11 categories on Amazon. Beyond Willpower was recently released, and on release day, it was labeled a hot new release on Amazon. I'm sure that very soon you'll be hearing and seeing that Dr. Lloyd is a two-time international best-selling author. So I'm sure you're anxious to get started. So right now, I'd like to introduce Dr. Alex Lloyd.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much. And it is wonderful to be here with you tonight. The first one of these we did, which was right when the book came out, I was on a basketball trip with my son, and so that one was a little bit different. I was doing it on my cell phone in a hotel room while my wife and son were out doing basketball stuff. This one's I'm back home, so things are more relaxed. And we're gonna see how long we go tonight. We may kind of go as long as we need to go, but we'll sort of see how that goes. Right now, I want to introduce you to someone. Kathy, is Ben here?
Hey, Alex, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, I want to introduce you guys to a good friend of mine, someone I have great respect for, and someone that I'm just getting started in working with. And his name is Ben Rooker. His wife, Amanda, was the editor of my new book, Beyond Willpower. And you may have read her testimonial on the book landing site. And that's how I met them. And Amanda has an undergraduate, I think, from William & Mary, and then a graduate degree from Duke, and is now teaching at William & Mary, I think. And they approached me about the Beyond Willpower Greatest Principle material, and were kind of like, you know, we would like to be involved with this somehow, and we don't know what that would look like or anything else, and because of the effect that it's had on us. And so we started talking, and one thing led to another, and I'm about to start a nonprofit, and it's the first time I've ever done that in my life, and we don't have all the paperwork done and all that, but our 100% intention is that it will be a nonprofit. And it is around the Beyond Willpower material, or what I've been calling for years the greatest principle that almost nobody knows. That's greatly expanded in the Beyond Willpower book. And so we are doing that. We're starting a nonprofit, and my desire is to start a movement, a not-for-profit movement, not for people to follow me. I don't want you to follow me, and you don't want to follow me. Believe me. If you don't believe me, you can talk to Hope. But I do want people to travel with in love, supporting and helping each other, and I want to spread the word that there is a better way to live than being focused on your external circumstances and constantly in stress and, trying to push that rock uphill another month, another year, And then after 20 or 30 years, it's like, what in the world have I been doing? And you wonder, how do I get out of this cycle, and how do I get to where I want to get? I may not even know where I want to get, but I know this isn't it. I just know something's missing. And people who I've worked with in my private practice with this material over the years, that's one of the things they said the most when they finished was, you know what? All my life, I felt that something was missing, and I felt that, you know, maybe this will take care of that feeling. Maybe that will take care of that feeling or whatever. But now, I don't feel like something's missing anymore. I feel light and happy and fulfilled and content and, you know, that sort of thing. And I want people to know that there is a way they can have that too. And you don't have to pay me $29.95 for that or $199.95 for that. It's something you can do at home in your pajamas between you and God with another person. And you don't need me for this. I mean, you can get the book and lead another person through this, and I think that's part of what we're going to do is help teach people how to lead other people through this. Okay, we're going to have our first meeting. I'm leaving for Europe very shortly, and when I get back, we're going to have our first meeting, and I would love for every one of you to join our. I don't even know what to call it, Ben, or whatever it is, and you can do that by going to beyondwillpowertogether.com and putting your email address in there, and that puts you on our list, and that is not a commercial list. Kathy, I'm hearing a lot of static. Is that me? Do you know?
I don't know, Al. No, I don't. It's not you. I hear it too, Alex.
You do hear it too?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, well.
Let me try something.
Okay, we'll see what happens here.
Okay.
But anyway, please consider signing up for that. Oh, wow, it's getting worse.
That's off. Well, what I did didn't work.
Okay,
hang on, let me try something else.
How many times do I say that every day?
That didn't work.
anyway, while Kathy's working on that, I wanted to bring Ben out to say hello. Ben, we've got plenty of time here. Be as short or long as you want. Say anything you want. Maybe share from your heart while you're here. And by the way, Ben has a cold, so he's going to sound funny.
That's right.
But if anything you want to say, Ben, about the nonprofit venture that we're gonna the movement that we're gonna try to start the first wave of in just a few weeks, any of that, just Ben Rooker, come on out, whatever you want to say.
Very good. Thank you so much, Alex. I really appreciate you having me on the call tonight. And I just want to just tell everybody who's listening just how happy I am to be talking to you tonight. I'm talking to you from Yorktown, Virginia. And as Dr. Lloyd said, my wife was involved in helping him with the book. And my first exposure to the material was interesting because she would feed it to me in little bits and pieces. And it just seemed like it was completely out of left field. And because she kept talking about how we had to give up trying. And I just could not wrap my mind around it. But the funny thing was is that as she worked with the material, you know, day in and day out herself, I saw the transformation in her first, where she was no longer dragging herself through the day. She seemed to have, you know, more energy at the end of the day than when she started, and she was no longer struggling with some things that I knew that she had struggled with for years and years and years. And so by the time the book was finished, I couldn't, as a matter of fact, I actually got a hold of a copy of the book before it was done because I couldn't wait for it to be done. And so I read the book and I came to more fully understand the things that I did not understand in the little bits and pieces that were shared with me, and came to really, to really realize how I was living out of fear in my own life, that I was like plugged in and addicted to fear. As good as I would try to be, as great as my intentions may or may not have been, it was fear that I would use to whip myself. And I was scared to death to let that taskmaster go for fear that I would just kind of spin off into never land. But, with Beyond Willpower, I began to really be able to plug into an entirely different source and love, and to begin to draw from a much deeper, more powerful well of energy. And so I was hooked. And so I loved Alex's book. I'm a real process-oriented person, and that's how I started to help him with the workbook, because I wanted to just see this spun out into as many different exercises, not like busy work, but as many different exercises as possible, so that people could get into the material from as many different angles as need be. In terms of what we're going to do when we get together for our first meeting, I think we're going to say a few things, and we're going to listen a lot. Alex and I have an idea of a few things we want to propose as next steps of things that we would like to do, and I'll save that for the call. But we're also going to do a fair amount of listening on the call to see, what it is that people feel like they need, how they need to be supported in working with this material. So did you want me to say anything else, Alex?
Tell them just a little bit about your background, your work and professional background, kind of where you come from.
Sure. I'm kind of vocationally ADD. I started off in architecture school, but I didn't finish. And then I went on to get a degree in philosophy from William & Mary, and then a degree in theology from Duke. And I went on to become a pastor. And I was a pastor for about 7 years and had an interest. I tried to change denominations, never really intended to get out of the ministry, but I've tried to change from one denomination to the other. And it just kind of blew up in my face, and I ended up needing to support my family. So kind of went back into construction and architecture and kind of segued from there into sales and design for a remodeling group. And then simultaneously, my wife was starting this writing and editing company. And that really took off. And so I kind of took the business experience that I had gathered in the sales and design and kind of jumped ship. And my wife and I were, 100% together, have been 100% together in this writing and editing company for the last 3 years. But I still have a passion for helping people at the deepest level. So even though I have not been vocationally a pastor for the past 7 or 8 years, I still have a passion for connecting with people and with helping them to get unstuck and to listen to just walk with them in the struggles of their life.
I've got a question for you, Ben, that I think some people may be wondering about. You have a graduate degree in theology from Duke, and were a pastor for a number of years. First question,
sure.
Is your relationship with God important to you?
Oh, heavens, yes. My relationship with God has always been everything to me.
All right.
I can say as much or as little about that as you'd like.
Second question. With applying this material to your life, has that had any effect on your relationship with God?
Well, sure. I think, you know, up until, I mean, I had a good and rich relationship with God before I came to the material. So I don't want to paint this an incredibly dark picture, but it was a struggle. And I've come to realize that in many ways, I approached my relationship with God in the sort of the three-step blueprint for failure. You know, just try to figure out, you know, what it is I want to do and use my willpower, you know, basically decide what success with a relationship with God looks like, decide what steps there are to get there, and then try to use my willpower to do X, Y, and Z. So the material has really helped me turn that on its ear and to I'd really just kind of relax into my relationship with God.
Cool, cool. Okay. All right. Well, Ben may hang around. He may not. I don't know what he's going to do.
I'll hang. I got a sick child, so I will hang around as long as I can. But if he calls me, I'll have to go out. But I'm going to go ahead and mute myself unless I hear from you, Alex. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay. Let's get started. And I'm gonna talk about the workbook some. I'm gonna take you through some things in the workbook. I'm not gonna go through everything in the workbook because after a little bit I'm gonna be quiet. And on our first call, we answered questions for about, I guess, 45 minutes, and there were still a whole bunch of people in line that we did not get to. So I'm gonna leave more room for questions and answers tonight. I think a lot of times we all learn more from that than from me trying to figure out what to say in a lecture type of thing. The first thing I wanted to say, and I said this in the first call, and I'll probably say it in our first group meeting in a few weeks too, and for the rest of my life, is that, you know, we think about spiritual issues, physical issues, mental issues, finances, circumstances, how you feel, what you think, you know, all these different things in our life. And we tend to put the spiritual over in its own little category up on the high shelf, you know, the shelf you don't go to very often. You don't want to throw stuff away that's on the high shelf. It's just not used very much, all right? You might even need a step stool to reach up there. And that's where we put the spiritual stuff. Because we say, and if anybody asked us, we'd say this, you know, that's really important to me, and I will never eliminate that. In fact, I want it to be more and more important in my life, even though I don't reach up there on the high shelf maybe a whole lot. But you know what? It's just not that practical, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word or not, to my day-to-day experience in the next 24 hours, in the next hour, in the next 10 minutes, whatever it is, to getting my work done, to us having enough money for to pay the mortgage and put milk and bread on the table, to put some money away maybe for our kids' education, maybe to go on a vacation once or twice a year, something like that. You know, to all that have-to stuff, it's maybe just not that relevant. So I kind of put the have-to stuff over here, and I got to make sure I get that stuff done. And then, you know, maybe, you know, on an off day or when I've got some extra time or when the have-to stuff is taken care of, I'll get my step stool and get up on that high shelf and go, you know, interact with the spiritual. Well, here's the word I have for that. Baloney. That's baloney, and I don't have anything against baloney as a meat, but baloney. That could not be more wrong. And I would refer you to I believe it's in the introduction of the book, where I talk about the success and failure switch in the brain. We have a success switch and a failure switch in the brain, all right? If the success switch is turned on, the failure switch is turned off. If the failure switch is turned on, the success switch, I may have gotten that mixed up. If the failure switch is turned on, success is off. If success is on, failure's off. In fact, if success is turned on and then something happens in our life and we flip the failure switch on, it turns the success switch off, all right? And the success and failure mechanisms in the brain are, the failure is the stress response, where something's happening in our life, information comes in through our ears and eyes and senses about that. That goes down to our database of images, and in a microsecond, in the blinking of an eye, like a huge supercomputer, our un- and subconscious mind go through our human hard drive to see if we have any memories or files or images that say danger about something that's happening right now in our external circumstances, okay? And if there's something that says danger, if there's a file that says danger, which means fear, the hypothalamus in the brain turns the stress switch on. So a little messenger goes from the hypothalamus to the pituitary, from the pituitary to the adrenals. There's a release of cortisol. It shuts down many of our body functions like digestion, higher intellectual functioning, healing. We don't need healing if a bear is about to kill me, all right? Need to run faster. So it shunts blood flow and energy to the animalistic parts of the brain, the reaction parts of the brain, to our big muscles to run faster, jump higher, fight, whatever we need to do, okay? But if there's not a life-threatening emergency, after an initial energy burst, we go into adrenaline cortisol overdose. And as long as that memory is being activated, we can stay there. So we can stay in that failure switch on and success off literally for decades of our life or even our whole adult life. And the experience of that is anxiety, worry, fear, coming at whatever you're doing from a negative perspective, even if you paint on a happy face. It's, I can't do it. It's not going to work. This is bad. Things are never going to be okay for me. I'm going to get heart disease because mom did. I'm going to get cancer because dad did. The economy is going to collapse. I'm going to lose my house and be out on the street. I wonder if my wife is having an affair. That's not something I'm thinking about, just came out of my mouth, and on and on and on, and all of that comes not really from your external circumstances, but from your internal programming. And to me, that is the definition of failure. And you also feel it physically with stress and tension. People will say, I got a headache, or I feel this tightness in my chest, or I'm having difficulty getting a deep breath, all right? Hey, man, that has an immediate effect on how you feel and what you think for the next 60 seconds, the next 5 minutes, the next 30 minutes, the next hour, the next 24 hours. It has a direct impact on how you sleep, on your metabolism, whether you get fat or not. Everything. And the effect on all of that is negative. In fact, it's a malfunction of our systems. On the other hand, is what I call the success switch, the success mechanism, which is the natural release in the brain of oxytocin, and related hormones and peptides that are called, the other name for them is the love hormones. And research has shown that love, the activation of a love memory, etc., can cause this natural release in the brain that cannot be simulated. No pill can do it. Injecting can't do it because it cannot pass the blood-brain barrier of the brain. It has to happen naturally, be released and created naturally in the brain, all right? And when that happens, we experience, and it's all there in the book, I believe toward the end of the introduction, love, joy, peace, happiness, healing, HGH production, which means the age process is literally reversing in your body. Trust and wise judgment. It enhances relationships. I mean, write down your definition of success, and pretty much that's it. Just like write down your definition of failure, and that's pretty much what the stress response does on all levels. Relational, mental, spiritual, financial, okay? It is almost universal that when people go through this process, integrated into their life successfully, like Ben and Amanda have, like so many others have, I would say probably 98-99% of them make more money without even trying to make more money. And some of them way more money. Some of them millions and millions and millions. Now, some don't. But it's not because they can't. It's because their definition of success has nothing to do with money, like Mother Teresa or Habitat for Humanity or some nonprofit humanitarian kind of thing. Why? Because when you feel great and you're doing what you love and you love what you're doing and you sleep great and you get up in a good mood and you're coming at everything from a positive perspective, it's not a painted-on thing. You're not wishing you were somewhere else. You're totally content and fulfilled to be right where you are. You don't feel bad in your body. You feel good in your body. You don't feel bad in your mind. You feel good in your mind. You don't feel bad in your spirit. You feel good in your spirit. Well, long term, you're going to make more money or less in that situation. Almost always more. And very, very often a lot more. Okay? So why am I going through all this? Because if you get this one thing, I think there's a real good chance you'll be committed to the process until you have been fully deprogrammed and reprogrammed, or another word for that might be transformation, transformed. And the point is, there is nothing more relevant, more practical to everything important in your life than this. Now, I have to exclude right relationship with God. For me, that's the most important thing in my life by far, okay? But if you've read the whole book, you know I address that too and say you can't really do this completely the way you need to without plugging in right relationship to God, okay? So that's included, really, but I wanted to mention it extra as well. But there is nothing more practical, more relevant, more related to you getting the end results in your life that you desire, to your gifts and abilities being fully realized in your life, than this. On the other hand, focusing on the end result with willpower will almost guarantee that the practical and most important things of your life both don't go so well, and probably get worse and worse. and you'll probably be in that vicious cycle of, oh, I'll try this, and if I can achieve this external result, then I'll be happy. Then I'll make enough money. Then I'll whatever. You do that, it either works or doesn't work, but it doesn't do what you needed it to do. And so now you're on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. Because none of those things have the power to do what you're seeking. The greatest principle does. And I've seen it over and over and over. Okay, let me hit a couple other things here. I would highly recommend that you, this is in page 47 of the book. I would highly recommend that you make a copy of this. This is in the workbook too. And these are the transformational aha principles to meditate on. And I would encourage you to give this a good period of time to work for you before you start on the three tools or the 40-day process, because this is the very best way for this deprogramming and reprogramming to happen, okay? And in my experience, more than 50% of the time, it does happen. If you pray and meditate on these principles for 30, 40 days, whatever, and they start with, this is on page 47 of the book, if you're focused on an external circumstance for your success, you are virtually guaranteeing your own failure, not only about that particular issue, but about all issues. Because focusing on an external circumstance as a life goal puts you into chronic stress. You're also virtually guaranteeing that you'll never find true success for you because chronic stress will block true success. That's the first one. The second one, looking through the lens of what's in it for me. The third one, what you've really wanted all along is not external, it's internal. Number four, if you're basing your success or failure on your own willpower, you have a one in a million shot. Number five, if you achieve the internal state of love, joy, peace, it will produce positive external circumstances that would be impossible for you to achieve with willpower alone. Number six, living in the present moment in love, giving up external results and circumstances will produce success and happiness. And the last one, number seven, you must give up using willpower and expectations to get what you really want most. Okay, I'd make a copy of that, and I'd put it everywhere. I'd put it on your bathroom mirror. I'd post it in your kitchen somewhere. I'd put it in your car. I'd go out every day until you have said those, prayed those, meditated on those so much that you've got them memorized, all right, like memorized for life. They are so overlearned that you couldn't forget them if you wanted to. All right? And I would just pray those things over and over and over and over and over and ask that first of all, you be committed to the greatest principle, to living in the present moment in love from an inward state of love, no matter what the external circumstances. It's an interesting thing. You know, I had the thing where Hope kicked me out of the house, and then I went and prayed in my parents' backyard, and I felt like God said something to me that offended me. And then it was the thing about love. You know, not only do you not love Hope, you don't even know what love is. And then it was after I felt like I understood what love really was, it was are you willing to really love Hope? And, you know, I didn't answer that right away. And I said that in the book. I knew this is not a flippant answer kind of thing. This is almost kind of a vow sort of deal, or at least it was to me. And so I really thought and prayed about that for a while. And I came to a place where I was completely at peace. And I can remember praying, talking to God, and saying, I will do it. Yes, I am committed. I will love hope. Nothing held back. No safety net. No strings attached. No matter what she does. If she does not love me back, if she doesn't want to cook for me anymore, if she never wants to have sex again, if she fill in the blank. No matter what she does or doesn't do, I'm not loving her for that. No more business deal love. Okay? I am all in. Forever. No matter what the end result. And when those words came out of my mouth in prayer to God, I felt the transformational aha happen. And that was interesting because it didn't happen until I was completely committed. When I was still, you know, 1 foot in and 1 foot out, deciding whether I was willing to commit to this or not, it did not happen. It was not until I said that and meant it to the marrow of my bone. And I believe today that you know, if Hope had not ever done any of those things I wanted her to do anymore and been nice to me or anything else, I believe I would have done it. I would still be loving her today. Now, I may or may not be married to her, but I would be loving her today with nothing held back, no plan B, no safety net, no matter what the end result, forever. Okay? There is something that is often magical about that all-in, forever commitment. And it certainly was for me, and I've seen it in a number of other people that I've worked with. So if you're doing this and the transformational aha has not happened yet, first of all, try not to be impatient. It'll happen as it needs to happen for you. But one thing I would consider is, am I fully committed to the greatest principle? Or am I just doing it with the same three-step blueprint? I'm gonna put 1 foot in, and I'm going to put some willpower toward this, and my expectation is all this great stuff that Alex talks about in the book. But if those end results don't start pouring in, that book's going to go back on the shelf. Because I'm not doing this unless I get the results. Well, it's my guess if you do that, this probably is not going to work for you very well. Okay? If you pray and meditate on these principles in the book, and as you do, pray about it, meditate about it, try to plug into your conscience and say, are these in harmony with my conscience, the law that is written on my heart, spiritual heart, I believe you will come to know that this is true, and that this is what I should be doing in my life, regardless of the results. Okay? So if you don't do that, if you're not willing to commit to that, that's back to what Ben Rooker was saying about him. It's fear. It's fear based on an end result. It's fear that you're not going to get the end results you want. Okay? Well, then, with all due respect, please go back to the genie questions and the explanation of that and realize that what you really want most and always have and always will is not the end result in your external or physical circumstances. It's always the inward state. And so if you will not commit to that because you're committed to the external physical results that maybe seem more practical and relevant to you, okay, you're going to stay in that place of fear and stress, which means you're not going to get the end results you really want. You commit to the greatest principle and giving up those things, and the stress goes away according to the clinical research, and now all of a sudden you start to get those end results. It's paradoxical, as most of the great timeless truths are. It's paradoxical. You have to let go of the end result in order to get the end result. Okay, all through the workbook are little things that say note from Alex, all right? I tried to approach this as if I was going through it with a client, which I've done umpteen times, many, many, many times, hundreds of times. And these are the kinds of things that if you were sitting in front of me in a chair and I was trying to help you walk through this material, I would very likely say in those particular places. So I would pay attention to those. I would do the genie questions every so often, okay? Don't do it once and then, oh, that was kind of interesting. I'm not sure if I completely agree with him or not. That external circumstance still looks pretty good to me. But it's interesting. Don't do that. Do it. Once a week, once a month at the least. Doesn't matter that you know the right answer. That's not the point. The point is, if that genie was standing in front of you right now and all the doors were closed, nobody would ever know what happened in that room, and you've got one wish for your whole life, what would you tell the genie you want? Would it be the inward state, or would it be some external circumstance? All right? How you answer that question largely tells you where you are internally, what you're valuing. Are you committed to the greatest principle and living your life that way, or are you not? All right? And when you get to the place that you can honest engine with every fiber of your being say, if I actually had that opportunity, that miraculous opportunity right now, I would absolutely tell the genie, I wish for love. I wish for joy. I wish for peace, or whatever that internal state is. Okay? And then, next week, see if you would still answer that way. And then the week after, and then the week after. If you continue to honestly be in that place, yes, that's what I would answer, then congratulations. But also, you got to take a look and say, okay, that's what I would really answer, but is that really the way I'm living my life? Or am I living my life based on the external circumstances and expectation and willpower? Okay. So I do that pretty often too. All right. I'm looking through here. And in a little bit, we're going to open it up. Lost my place. I'm still here. I lost my place, and I should have. Oh yeah. I should have put this in a binder, but I don't. I've got it in loose pages. I would also review the stuff about placebo, nocebo, and de facto. That's on page 38 of the workbook. This is so important because the only way you're going to get the results in your physical health life, in your marriage, in your career, is to live your life by de facto love, the real thing, not business deal, de facto. But what the great majority of people do in their life is live by placebo or nocebo. Well, in either case, you're believing a lie, okay? The lie does not come from love and truth. The lie comes from fear and leads to more fear, okay? So I would review the material about placebo, nocebo, and de facto. And the three tools, I think I said this in our last meeting right after the book came out. The easiest one to do is the energy medicine. The most effective one to do is the heart screen meditation. But it's also the one that takes some practice. It's like learning to shoot a bow and arrow or something, and you'll get better and better and better at it the more you do it. But the reason that's so powerful is because that is our one and only creative force. And you're wanting to create something. You're wanting to create success in your life, or you wouldn't be on this call. You wouldn't have bought the book. You wouldn't have kept reading the book. You would have put it on the shelf and say, that guy's crazy. That was a wasted $20, whatever. But evidently that's not what you thought, I hope. Okay? So please think about that. Consider that. Meditate on that. Okay? And let's see. Oh, yeah. The chart on page 47. This is another one I would make a copy of. And this is the way every decision, every choice, every issue in your life goes from start to finish. All right? You start with your current programming. Then you experience a external or life situation. You'll interpret the event based on truth or lie. So I'd make a copy of this and put it up. And when you're experiencing something negative, feeling, thought, result, whatever, go through this chart and see where you got off track. All right? Is it the lie? You'll interpret the event based on the lie. Is that where you got off? And what, if so, what was the lie? Well, you know it's a lie if you're experiencing fear or anxiety or any of the things that come from fear, sadness, unforgiveness, anxiety, worry, anger, insecurity, insignificance, pride, okay? If you're experiencing those and it's not a life-threatening situation, you have to be believing a lie. All right? And then you'll make the decision based on either integrity or pain, pleasure. You'll experience security or insecurity, and on and on and on. So keep this up, and whether it's a conversation, whether it's, you know, your work and a project not going well or whatever, anytime you experience something negative, pull this chart out and see if you can identify at which step you got off track, and then use the tools to get back on track. I want to stress again with the reprogramming statements, because I really hesitated to put all those in, but ultimately decided to, that there's not a wrong way to do that. Okay? Don't feel like you have to go through every one of those things if you don't feel good about that. All right? A lot of times with people that I worked with personally, you know, I would find somewhere between 3 and 10 of those statements that were really kind of hot buttons that resonated, that were obviously pertinent issues for that particular person. And then we would just work on those 3 to 10. But I'm not working with you individually, so there's no way I can know that. And a lot of you I don't know at all, at least right now, so I had to put all of them in, all right? But do that for yourself. You know, you can pretty easily take a pencil and go down there and say, ah, that one's not a problem for me, that one's not a problem for me, and then maybe make a red mark by the ones, ah, that one's a problem for me. And maybe you'll come up with 3, 6, 8, 10 yourself, okay? Well, then you can kind of forget the others and just go work on those until those are okay, all right? So don't let that be overwhelming. And you can also, of course, use the short list as well. I would encourage you at least once a month probably to take the Success Issues Finder and see how you are changing over time as you integrate this process. I would pay particular attention to the internal states category, the external focus category, the goal setting category, and the success orientation category. All right? And then the 40-day process, you do not have to do that, okay? Don't let that be some big, hard, dreaded thing. You know, I've got to, you know, focus on the success desire, see what blocks come up, eliminate the blocks, you know, then infuse the positive, then keep them there for 40 days. Now, you know, don't let that be overwhelming. If you don't want to do that, don't do it. Just use the tools to heal the issues in all those different categories. And the Success Issues Finder will help you identify the ones that need to be healed the most. The truth focus statements will help you identify the ones that need to be healed. And just looking at your life and the things that are not going so well, things you're struggling with to be successful, will also tell you what you need to work on to fix. All right? I've had a number of people ask. I think we mentioned this. No, we probably didn't. Okay, because it wasn't out then. But the difference in the workbook on my site, which is beyondwillpowernow.com, and I think it's also on beyondwillpowertogether.com, the difference in that one and the one on Amazon is that the one on our site is a PDF, which means you can print it out, which I would highly recommend so that you can actually use it as a workbook and earmark the pages and punch holes in it and put it in a 3-ring binder and write on it and make extra copies of the ones that have blanks so you can do it several times over the years, you know, that sort of thing. That's the difference in the two workbooks. And as you work through the workbook, I'd have the book with you because it refers to the book a lot, and there's places where you might get kind of lost if you don't have the book with you. Okay, Kathy. I really went longer than I meant to. Let's open it up and see if we have any questions and answers tonight. And by the way, I don't know if Ben is still here or not. If Ben's here, you can ask Ben a question, too. Ben, are you here?
I'm still here, Alex.
Ah, okay, cool. So Ben is still here. If you want to ask him a question, he'll have a better answer than me.
Okay. I have to follow that?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's how the Q&A works.
We have people on the phone and on the web, so there are two different ways to ask questions. For those on the web, you see a box where you can key in your question, press the send button, and I'll see them, and I will ask Dr. Alex for you. It's just a little bit more difficult if you're on the phone because you have to remember something, and that is you press star 2 to raise your hand. I'll see your hand. I'll let you know that your line is open generally by the last four digits of your phone number, and then you can ask Dr. Alex or Ben your question. So we do have questions on the live portion, on the phone portion. So the first call is from 6707. If that is your phone number, your line is open. I know who you are.
Hi.
Okay.
I was on mute. It's Sue Olin. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Let's see. Hi. Well, one of my questions is this call being recorded? Because I really want my husband to hear this.
Yeah. It is, Kathy, I think.
Yes, it is.
And it'll be posted on the Beyond Willpower Now site at some point.
Okay, because I tried to go to Beyond Willpower Now, and it said DrAlexLloyd.com. So
you
might
have
about that.
It is on that website, but it is a page on that website. So if you go to DrAlexanderLloyd.com, then find the button on that. That says Beyond Willpower, and it'll take you to that page. Is that correct, Kathy?
That is exactly correct.
All right.
Okay, wonderful. Hang on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so then now, Dr. Lloyd, I have to talk to you about the master key. How can I get in touch with you? This is feedback that's really important that I need to talk to you about.
Kathy, can you give her an email or something where she can contact us?
Yes.
Not your email.
No, you can text it to me at this number if you see my number.
I do see your number. Let me make sure that I remember that it's you that I want to text. I'll text
okay,
it to
because
you.
This is my cell phone, so that would be the best way. Thank you so much. Bless you all. This is amazing. I love the healing codes. This is awesome. It's unbelievable. Thank you so much. Now take another question.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, and it will be after the end of this call when I will text you because I am absolutely not capable.
Oh, sure. I don't need it right now. I'm on the call. Thanks.
Okay, next. If you are 0244, your line is open.
Hello. Hi. I was unable to get a copy of the workbook. I only have a cheap smartphone and don't have good internet service, and I kept trying to do the going to the because I ordered it from Amazon. I wanted the website, and my system wouldn't do it. And I was curious.
We have nothing to do with Amazon, but.
Uh-huh.
But if you get it from us and you can't get it, contact us and we'll get somebody to help you.
All righty. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I love you all.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alex.
Okay, and now if you are in South Carolina, 2518, your line is open.
Hi, Kathy. This is Linda Brewer. Hi, Alex.
Linda, how are you? Linda.
I'm great.
Linda is one of our absolutely fabulous, wonderful coaches who has been with us for years. Go ahead, Linda.
And this is, to me, the core and the essence of all the work that we do. What was the site for the nonprofit where we needed to go sign up?
beyondwillpowertogether.com.
Okay.
And Johanna is going to be a big part of that. Diane Ebley has been talking with me, and we would love you to be a part of that, Linda.
Okay. Well, I'm starting a nonprofit for community outreach for school children. And so when I get all of that together, I'll get with you, too, and we'll see how we can make this work.
Cool. You know what? We could come up with a really simple version of this for kids. I've already been thinking about that.
Okay. All right. Great.
Thank you, Linda. God bless
you. Thank you. You too, Kathy. Great job. And welcome
Thanks.
To the family, Ben.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Linda. Okay. Star 2, if you're on the phone. And that's it for right now for the phone. We'll go to the web and see what we have there. And, in fact, here's a question about children. Lindara, I hope you're still there. Can I use Beyond Willpower tools for children as well? How would you use it or apply it for children?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kids are so much better at the heart screen than we are, it's not even funny. And so if you explain in you know, child-appropriate language, hey, you know your imagination, right? You can close your eyes. I sort of played with this, I think it was earlier. You know, you can close your eyes, and can you imagine a ball when you close your eyes? And the kid will say, sure. Okay, what color is it? Okay, how big is it? Can you picture the ball rolling down the hill? You know, and go on and on and on. They're way better at that stuff than we are. And then teach them, okay, that thing that's allowing you to see the ball, that's what creates everything in your life. That's what makes you feel good or bad. It's what makes you healthy or unhealthy, et cetera. And then teach them. So if you feel, have you ever felt angry? And I'm asking the child this. Have you ever been mad? You know, somebody did something that, you ever been mad? Yeah, I've been mad. What were you mad about? And they tell me what you're mad. Okay, well, do you know that when you're mad, the only way that you can be mad is if you have mad on your heart screen, on your imagination, on the screen of your imagination. That's the only way you can be mad, is if you have mad on there. Now, you may not be able to see it because there's a place in your mind that you can't see that can still use that imagination, all right? But when you feel mad, if you do this on the heart screen, which the child can do very easily, you will start to feel better, and it will heal the anger. It'll make the anger go away. I've done this with a number of children. You can also walk through the reprogramming statements, but in a more simplified way, okay? And not as many of them. I would you know, maybe do just one from each category. Hey, would you like to do this in your life? And then the energy medicine's the easy one. In fact, you can do the energy medicine on them if you want. So yes, absolutely, absolutely. And then just start teaching them about the greatest principle, the inward state versus the external circumstances when they're 5, when they're 6, when they're 7, when they're 12, 15, as long as they're there, keep teaching them over and over and over about the internal state versus the external circumstance and what's most important. And they'll understand it. They'll get it. And they'll grow up. It's kind of like these days, if you can't figure something out on your computer. And I was told this a long time ago, and it's true, and I've actually done this. They say find a teenager and hire them, and even if they don't know how to do it, they'll figure it out because it's in their blood. If they grew up with it. if you teach this to your children growing up, when they get to high school and college and all that sort of thing, they will figure out how to do it in every situation of their life because they will have grown up with it. They'll have been programmed that way, and it'll be natural to them. And probably none of us on this call have experienced that. It certainly wasn't natural for me, okay? So, yes, absolutely with children. That's one of my passions, in fact, is a simplified version and getting it in schools and all kinds of places.
Cool. Just so you know that you've already answered it, but I just want you and Linda to know that there are two more questions along the same vein about children. So there's interest in this definitely for children.
Yeah, great.
So the next question is, what do I use if I don't have the healing codes, but I do have the master key?
Then use the energy medicine in Beyond Willpower with the master key. That'll work fine. The healing code is more powerful than the energy medicine in Beyond Willpower, but it'll work.
And here's a question I could have asked. You'll know why when I ask it. Is there a flow chart for the process and all the possible options to go into? A visual schemata would help me, really help me organize and not feel overwhelmed, but rather relax into it.
Right. That is why we did the workbook. Okay. So my question would be, do you have the workbook and have you gone through the workbook? Because that's really the reason we did the workbook. And if you will look in the workbook on about page 84, it's called The Greatest Principle Success Blueprint Worksheet. And it sort of guides you through doing the tools and all that stuff to make that happen. But anyway, the book is about 300 pages. The workbook is just under 100 pages, and that's what I mean. In fact, I'll say this: that's the first time I've heard that comment among people who have the workbook. If you have it, because what I was hearing before the workbook is exactly that question. After the workbook, what I've been hearing is, thanks for the workbook. That did it for me. So I would say if the workbook overwhelms you too, to don't go there yet. Just focus on trying to have that transformational aha for about the next 40 days, and then during that 40 days, very slowly become more and more familiar with the workbook, but in a very casual, relaxed way. Because you're not going to do anything for 40 days anyway. And then at the end of that 40 days, if you decide that you do want to do tools and not just the transformational aha, then it should be much less overwhelming because you were basically studying it, if you will, for 40 days before you were ever going to do anything. But that is the first time I've heard that among people who have the workbook.
And next, I'd like to know where in the book the transformational aha list is.
I said that when I was going over it, but let me find it again. It is on page 47 of the book. And it's in the workbook, too. I don't know what page number that is.
Okay. Next. How do you get to that transformation process before doing the processes?
Well, that's what the transformational aha is. It is praying and meditating on those seven principles that are kind of paradoxical bottom-up principles, but they're in harmony with your conscience. So your conscience, when you pray and meditate over those, is saying yes, yes, yes. Even if you're afraid of it because you're so focused on end results, this is right. This is the truth. This is what you need to do if you want to be happy and healthy and get the end results that you want. So your conscience will agree with that. Now, some of your programming will disagree, okay? But more than 50% of the time, if you pray and meditate intensively and extensively over time on those principles, it will happen. How does it happen? I don't know that I can answer that, but in a lot of the cases, it will. And you know, I wouldn't even start the tools after 40 days with what I know today. I'd go another 40 days. And if they didn't happen then, I'd go another 40 days, okay? Because it is so awesome and wonderful if that can happen for me. I would love that. That's what I want. So I would even give it longer.
Okay, next question. Hi, Alex. I have a problem putting together these two statements. First statement is, set your success goals using the greatest principle. It must be in truth, in love, and 100% under your control. And the second statement, do in the present moment, that is in 30 minutes. Would you give some examples, please? Thank you.
Well, your goal in any and every situation, in reality, you're only ever going to have one goal, which is to do whatever you do in the next 30 minutes in love, from an inward state of love plugged in to the source of love, all right? But, one thing that can really help us if we're doing the manual deprogramming and reprogramming is the 40-day process and using the three tools. And one thing that helps us with that is to determine a success desire, which is in the future, which is an external expectation, although it's not an expectation in the greatest principle, because we, from day one and every other day after that, are constantly giving it up to God, okay? But that success desire helps us if we're doing the greatest principle through the manual mechanical process with the tools. So that end result desire, not goal, has to be in truth and love. You don't want to go for anything that's not in truth and love, because that means it's in fear and falsehood, okay? So it needs to be in truth and love. And the desire does not have to be completely under your control. It doesn't. I think you may have said in the question to Kathy that it does, but it doesn't say that in the book. It says that the desire is not under your control. Only the goal over the next 30 minutes is in your control, okay? And even that's maybe not 100% under your control, because you're never going to do it perfectly. But what I'm talking about is if you're doing filing over the next 30 minutes, it is in your control once you have deprogrammed and reprogrammed, maybe not before that, but after that, to do the filing in love as best you can. Not perfectly, but as best you can. All right? That's under your control. All right? That's the difference. And I use an example in the book, I think, of before Hope kicked me out of the house, hating to clean toilets, and after Hope kicked me out of the house, not hating to clean toilets. It had literally changed my have-tos into want-tos, and I was cleaning toilets, singing and humming, and didn't even know what I was doing, and Hope was shocked because she knew how much I hated to clean toilets. Okay, Kathy.
Okay. Next question. Hi, Alex. I'm reading the book, and I am in part three now. I also started the workbook. My question is, I've been doing the reprogramming statements and identified the ones with a one and a two, but how do I apply the energy medicine tool on these? Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It's very simple. Let's say, let me see if I can find the reprogramming statements are in here. But it's very simple. If you have a reprogramming statement that is a problem for you, meaning you cannot say it truthfully, like, I desire to give up unhealthy control designed to ensure a certain end result so that I can have faith, trust, hope, and belief, and therefore have the best results in my life. So if you can't make that statement truthfully, that you desire to give it up, then you use the energy medicine technique, say a little prayer before you start or during, hey, I want to heal this. I want to desire to give up unhealthy control. Please heal whatever is keeping me from being able to do that, and let me be able to give up unhealthy control so that I can have faith, hope, trust, belief, and the end results that are best for me in my life. And then you do the energy medicine until you can make that statement. Ah, something has changed. I do desire to give up unhealthy control. Cool. But you may also need to use the heart screen meditation on that as well. And I would absolutely recommend that, because I keep saying over and over and over, it dwarfs all the others in power and potential for healing, deprogramming, and reprogramming once you're good at it.
Okay, we have another question on the phone. Remember, if you're on the phone, press star 2 if you'd like to ask a question. And this, our next question is from 6033. Your line is open.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I don't know that I really have a question, but did want to just reiterate the transformation that can happen when you go back to the key principles. I read through the book and was going through the workbook, and we had our first call, and I was getting kind of caught up in the process and the heart screen and the energy medicine and all of this. And I went back and looked and just found some time to myself to do some meditation and some praying. And the transformation is unbelievable.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's really impossible to describe, isn't it?
It is. And when you brought up cleaning toilets, it reminded me of right now, our trees are shedding leaves in the pool, and I just have always hated going out there and dealing with it. And you know, now it's like, oh, I need to go out and clean the pool. And it used to make me angry.
Yeah.
To have to be out there.
Yeah.
So I would just encourage people to go back and spend some time on the meditation and the prayer, because I think that we can all get caught up in the process and the right way to do things, but what I felt was truly incredible.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I almost didn't put the tools and the 40-day process and the reprogramming statements. Now, I almost didn't put that in the book because of exactly what you just said. We can get so caught up in that stuff and all of that. I made a prayerful decision to go ahead and do it. I'm still not sure if I did the right thing or not. The only thing I was going to include in the book was the heart screen meditation. But, you know, for whatever reason, I felt like I should do that. But, you know, I want to piggyback on what you just said and hit it again tonight. Please give yourself the opportunity for this. It is. I don't even know what to call it. It's beyond words. You're never the same. It turns your have-tos into want-tos. You're just in such a place of love and joy and peace. Cleaning the toilets or the pool or whatever it is no big deal. It's okay. That's all right. I'll go enjoy doing it. Where before, man, I have no way I could enjoy doing it. I hated, despised doing it. So thank you so much. Hey, I would love it if you would email me that, what you just said.
Okay.
For sure, if you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. But I would love to have that. Thank you so much.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. By the way, what she just shared, ever since the book came out, I've been getting things like that almost every single day. Here's the one for today, and I'll share it with you because, you know, this is kind of what we're talking about. This is from a therapist. She said, I've been recommending Beyond Willpower to all of my clients, and the last two I've worked with today have told me what an impact it's had on them and how it's allowed them to come to a place where they're able to shift their perspective, which is what I strive for with all my clients, that place where they understand that it's not about the end result, it's about the journey, it's about the fun along the way, it's about the connection, and they are all getting it. It's just incredible. A lady who had chronic fatigue for 4 years, she's working out again within a month. A woman who has cancer, she's gone from constantly worrying about it to hardly thinking about it within a month as well. And I can tell it will be a non-issue for both of them within another month. Absolutely incredible. I can see it in their eyes every time they come in. I'm going to be teaching and sharing this for the rest of my life. So that's what the nonprofit is about, is we want to start a movement that has nothing to do with money or any ulterior motives. It's just... we want to share there's another way you can live where you can really have not only maybe the life you want, but maybe even beyond that. So, Kathy?
Okay. That's it for the phone right now. Star 2, because we're winding down questions on the web. So if you are on the web and want to ask a question, please send that in soon. And star 2 if you're on the phone. So our next question is, I'm confused by what you said in the last webinar about using the Healing Code tools instead of the tools in Beyond Willpower. Can you clarify?
Yeah, the only thing I said that about was the energy medicine tool. The Healing Code is significantly more powerful than the energy medicine tool in Beyond Willpower. So that's the only thing I was saying about that is if you have the Healing Code, I would use that instead of the one in the book. The reason I didn't put the Healing Code in the book is, first of all, because there's already a book called The Healing Code about that. And secondly, the Beyond Willpower grew out of my private practice over the last 24 years, which started way before the Healing Code. And this is what I used in my private practice. So that's why it's the way I wrote the book that way. But the Healing Code is more powerful. So if you have it already, I would use that instead of the one in the book. But everything else would be the same.
Okay. And you just answered also the last question that was on the web. So two questions that were just about the same. So star 2 if you're on the phone. This is going to be last call. Star 2 on the phone. Type in your question. I'll go back there and refresh. And I'll go to the phone and refresh. And that's it, Alex.
All right. God bless all of you. I love you so much. I hope to get to know you personally, and I mean that with every breath I have. I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life, which I hope and pray will be a number of decades yet to come. Please consider joining the nonprofit movement. We need your help. If you believe in this and are committed to this, we need your help. There's so many programs out there that are the three-step failure process that are focused on end results, and very often it's end results for the author or head of the program to make money. And there's nothing wrong with making money, a fair pay for fair work, but this is not about money. And we want to touch people all over the globe, in every country, and you don't have to spend $29.95 or $199.95. It's we just want to help. So anyway, that's it for me. Ben, if you're still here, did you want to add anything?
No, just a big thank you for having me on the call. I'd really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Ben. Thank you. And Kathy, you did a fabulous job as usual. Thank you so much. And I love you all. And if you go to beyondwillpower.com and put your email address in, you will be hearing about our first meeting, which will be within the next few weeks. If you don't do that, you will not be hearing about it because nothing in the healing codes, those are going to be two separate things. Okay, so you've got to go there in order to hear about that. That's all the nonprofit stuff. So God bless you all. Thank you. And, Kathy, that's it for me.
Thank you, Alex. Good night, everyone.